According to a new report, CEOs collected as much money from one day on the job as average workers made over the entire year. Authored by the Institute for Policy Studies and United for a Fair Economy, the report, called The Executive Excess 2007, The Staggering Social Cost of U.S. Business Leadership, shows that CEOs at the biggest U.S. companies averaged $10.8 million in pay and associated compensation, based on data from 386 of the Fortune 500 companies. That figure for CEO salaries equates to more than 364 times the pay of the average American worker, with the average American worker's salary coming in at $30,000. Furthermore, through tax dodging, creative accounting, and simply benefiting from favorable tax policies, CEOs are also able to keep more of their salary in their pockets. This Labor Day, as U.S. workers can celebrate the first raise in minimum wage in 10 years, bringing it from $5.15 per hour to $5.85 an hour, that rate in real value is still 7% below the value of the minimum wage in 1996. Another sobering statistic for this Labor Day weekend is the fact that over 15% of workers are without health insurance, a number that is at an all-time high. Joining us to talk about the growing pay gap is study co-author Sarah Anderson, director of the Global Economy Program at the Institute for Policy Studies and lead author of this study. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So can you summarize some of the key findings of this report? Because it is pretty staggering. I think that's an accurate title.
Yeah, well, I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, the big headline is just that CEOs of large firms made as much in one day as average workers made the entire year. But another thing we did this year is we compared how much corporate CEOs are making to how much leaders in other sectors of our society are making, because we think it's important to have strong leadership throughout society, not just in the corporate world. But instead, what the paychecks of these guys say is that they are valued at hundreds, if not thousands, of times more than other leaders. For example, the corporate CEOs made roughly 200 times as much last year as the top 20 leaders in Congress, in the military, and in the executive branch. They made about 40 times as much as leaders in nonprofits, including university presidents and leaders of major medical research centers. And again, that just, it's a problem because it drains a lot of leadership talent away from these other fields that are so critical to our society's overall health.
And you also compared U.S. business leaders with European business leaders as well. And how big was that gap? Because these are also multinational companies. So I was just curious about that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Americans are still leaving their European counterparts in the dust when it comes to compensation. Last year, the top 20 European highest paid corporate leaders made only about one-third as much as the top 20 U.S. Corporate highest paid leaders, even though the Europeans led companies that were quite substantially larger, had much larger sales than the U.S. firms. Although I would have to say in Europe, those pay levels are also rising, and there's quite a raging debate there. Even the new president of France, who's hardly a wild liberal, he's quite a conservative guy, he campaigned on the promise that he would do something about rising CEO pay in that country, and he's already introduced some legislation on that.
Wow. I was also curious in terms of, I know that in the report, you cite actually all of the fringe benefits CEOs get, because in addition to their large incomes, there's various tax breaks that people receive. Can you break down for our listeners what actually goes into their kind of plump portfolio?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because we have increased reporting on these kinds of things thanks to some changes in the disclosure requirements for companies. So now we get a lot more details in the kind of perks that they're getting, and it's fascinating to see these guys get reimbursed for when they take the corporate jet on their vacation. They get reimbursed for that. They get special health exams for corporate executives, since, you know, I guess the message is these human beings are just so much more valuable than anybody else at these companies. They get reimbursed for extra taxes they have to pay when they get massive bonuses. They get help doing their tax forms. They get personal financial assistance. It goes on and on. And that's, of course, on top of the pensions, the cash bonuses, the stock options, the stock grants. It's really quite a wide range of things that they put together in order to entice these men into these jobs based on the belief that they are these superhumans, when, of course, in reality, so many people contribute to the value of these companies.
And going back to the perks, the top 386 CEOs took in perks worth an average of $438,000 in 2006 alone. And, you know, I love the fact that you contrasted that a minimum wage worker would then need to work 36 years to earn the equivalent of what a CEO average in just, you know, perks, you know.
It's really insane. I mean, these are the fringe benefits. These are just the, you know, the icing on the cake, and yet it still adds up to such an absurd sum. And a lot of that tends to be reimbursement for riding on the private company jets. And I find it amusing. They always say in these corporate statements that that is necessary for the security, the personal security of these executives to not fly commercial airlines. I guess they assume that all these guys are going to get kidnapped or something if they, you know, bumped elbows with the rest of us.
I want to remind our listeners, on the phone with us is Sarah Anderson, Director of the Global Economy Program at the Institute for Policy Studies, and she is co-author of a new report that is also released with United for a Fair Economy called Executive Excess 2007, The Staggering Social Cost of U.S. Business Leadership. Now, this is the 14th Annual Labor Day Report. What have you seen in terms of the accumulation of the statistics you've done over the years, and where do you feel like this year stands out in that?
Well, it's pretty much par for the course over the past 15 years. 15 years ago is when these pay packages really started exploding. And so just to give you some comparison, back in 1980, for example, the gap between what average CEOs made and average workers was only 42 to 1. This year we found it to be 364 to 1. And so it's been a depressing thing to work on for 14 years. But I have to say this year I feel a bit more hopeful because I feel like we're seeing an unprecedented political debate on what to do about excessive CEO pay. There are several bills in Congress that address it, and we also have two leading presidential candidates in Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama who are frequently denouncing this CEO worker pay gap on the campaign trail.
Can you discuss between Obama and Clinton their different positions about CEO pay, and you know where you kind of stand on you know cutting through what their public position is, and then also the money that they're receiving?
Right. Well, Barack Obama is the lead sponsor in the Senate of a bill that would give shareholders the right to vote every year on executive pay packages. Now, this would be a non-binding vote, but a lot of people think it could have some impact just in embarrassing corporate boards who continue to give out really excessive pay packages to poorly performing CEOs. That's a bill that's already passed the House, and now, as I said, he's championing it in the Senate. And I find that positive, but we do want members of Congress to go further and, for one thing, fix the loopholes that are currently in our tax policies that actually encourage these excessive pay levels. And so, for example, Representative Barbara Lee is about to introduce a bill that would cap the tax deductibility of CEO pay. So companies couldn't deduct from their taxes any amounts that are over 25 times what the lowest paid worker in a company makes. We think those kinds of you know ways of fixing the tax code so that at least the rest of us aren't subsidizing these sky-high pay levels is really positive. And I don't think either Obama or Hillary Clinton have come down in support of that. Clinton, like I said, has been frequently talking about CEO pay on the campaign trail, but her solutions have mostly been about increasing disclosure and transparency and the independence of boards, and we're hoping that she'll go a bit further.
And I also want to go back to what has been the response to the report, and also what the impacts, like how do you see the impacts of such staggering, you know, inequality?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I do think that Congress is much more engaged on this. I've had several calls from people in Congress, even though they are, you know, supposed to be on vacation right now. It's the August recess. But people are really focusing on this issue and trying to come up with solutions. So I feel quite hopeful. Now, from the business world, of course, we get the big backlash every year. And I think they're fighting back harder now, too, because they're worried that moves are afoot to actually do something about this for a long time. And so, you know, I did a debate on CNBC where it was me against four other people who were all on the other side. And, you know, they tend to get hysterical and say that, oh, these people want to put it an absolute ceiling on how much somebody can earn in this country, and that's not American. And nobody in reality is calling for an absolute cap on how much someone can earn. What we're talking about is fixing the tax loopholes that are actually encouraging and subsidizing these high pay levels.
Mm-hmm. That is Sarah Anderson, Director of the Global Economy Program, and she's discussing the new report that the Institute for Policy Studies released with United for a Fair Economy, Executive Excess 2000, the staggering social cost of U.S. business leadership. I want to go back, Sarah, to the question I asked earlier. What has been the response from other organizers, from people in labor, from just normal American people to both these findings, but also I think there's kind of just a social knowledge that this is happening.
Right.
You know, I mean, reports like this are great because they give you actual numbers, but we know something very drastically wrong is happening with our pay scale, you know?
Yeah, well, we've seen polls for quite a while now showing high levels of concern among the American public about this. There was one by the Financial Times just a month ago that said 77% of Americans think our corporate executives earn too much money. I think the problem in terms of really mobilizing people and translating that concern into action is people don't feel like there's anything they can really do about it. And so I'm excited that now there are some proposals in Congress that people can get behind, both the bills to give shareholders more of a say on these things and also the efforts to close these tax loopholes. I'm hoping that that might generate more activity. I think another thing is that people, although they might get outraged, they might not connect the dots. Like, why is the fact that these guys at the top making so much money, how does that affect people, poor people and working class people? And I think, again, it's so important for people to understand that as long as these guys are getting away with these huge tax loopholes, that means that the rest of us have to make up for that. That means we're subsidizing these grotesque levels of pay. And also, for unions, they understand that this affects worker morale. When you're getting a pittance compared to what the boss is making, that can affect productivity. And that's something that should concern everybody, not just workers, but the people at the top of these corporations.
And Sarah, I guess the other piece is that, you know, when I'm looking at your key proposals for change, a lot of it is focused on capping the CEO salaries, but I think it's almost two-pronged. Like, we've got to cap salaries and then also continue to raise the minimum wage to a working wage. And I wonder if we could actually turn to that a little bit and talk about the fact that the minimum wage was finally raised from $5.15 to $5.85, but talk about what that actually means in real figures and in real people's lives.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big victory, which should be applauded. But the reality is that even at $5.85, in real terms, the minimum wage is still 7% below where it was a decade ago. Whereas, by contrast, CEO pay over that same period has increased by about 45%. And so a lot more needs to be done to make sure that people are are earning a decent living in this country for all the hard work that they do. And I think we really need to unite these efforts to both, you know, bring down the top of this extreme inequality gap and lift up the bottom. And I'll just raise again this bill that Barbara Lee is about to introduce, which would cap the tax deductibility of executive pay at no more than 25 times what the lowest paid worker makes. We're hoping that that will encourage more reasonable pay levels at the top, but it also gives an incentive to lift up the bottom. So you have a narrower range between what workers and CEOs are making. And, you know, there are some CEOs out there who are already practicing this at Whole Foods. They have a ratio of 19 to 1. That's, the biggest gap they can have in pay there. There's another investment fund manager who actually has a 7 to 1 gap in his firm. And so there are some business leaders out there who get it, that it's good for everybody to have smaller pay gaps. But we still have a long way to go, and I don't think we can rely entirely on them figuring it out for themselves and doing it voluntarily.
All right. Well, we will have to leave it right there. Sarah, can you give us the website where people can read the report and actually learn more about how they can get involved?
Absolutely. And I'll say, too, that we are really interested in partnering with groups who want to take on these extreme inequalities. And so feel free to give me a buzz or an email if you're interested in getting involved with that. And our website at the Institute for Policy Studies is www.ips-dc.org, ips-dc.org.
Okay. We've been speaking with Sarah Anderson, Director of the Global Economy Program at the Institute for Policy Studies, lead author of the new study, Executive Excess, The Staggering Social Cost of U.S. Business Leadership. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks so much.